I want to ask you guys a question this morning. I always like to begin my messages with a question. It kind of helps set up the point that I'm hopefully going to make. Have you ever been wronged by somebody? I heard. Have you ever been wronged by somebody who you trusted, who you had confidence in? I'm talking about really wrong. I bet you all of us could think one time or the other when somebody who we trusted violated that trust and wronged us. And so the real question this morning, I think based on the text that Trudy just read, and I'll get to that in a moment, how many times do we forgive somebody? Is there a limit? Seriously. And I'm going to try to be very high tech and use my... Is forgiveness limited? Look at those two going at it. Have you ever done that with your spouse? Don't answer it. Is there a limit to how many times we could actually forgive another person? And I think that's what the text talks about this morning that we're reviewing. But I will tell you this, and hopefully I'll make my point, is that forgiveness could release certain things, and unforgiveness could actually impart certain things on our life. And I'll get to that in a moment. You might remember last week, Jesus was ministering. I didn't go over in detail the first part of that text, and I'm not going to go over a whole lot. We've been tracking Jesus's life, and I've been saying that every week. And I always encourage people that if you want to listen to previous messages, they're on www.patchalkumc.org, and they're there for you to listen to. You can even download them. But the key is this. At the very beginning of last week's text, Jesus was teaching about reconciling with somebody else we have a difference with and how to do that. And then we went into prayer where he says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there shall I be in the midst of them. And so it was coupled up. We need prayer if we're going to forgive. Believe me, I know from personal experience. And so Peter hears what Jesus said from our text last week. They're together at the same time. So, I mean, there's been a lapse in a week for us between worship services, but it's a continuation of the discussion that Jesus was having with his disciples. Now, the same guy who walked on water, stepped out of the boat, you might remember that, the same guy who recognized Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, you remember when Jesus said, who do people say I am? Well, who do you say I am? It was Jesus who spoke up and said, you are the Messiah. It's the same Peter, who said that, it's the same person that after Jesus acknowledges that he's the Christ, he says, now I must go to Jerusalem and suffer, be put to death and buried and raised again. It was Peter again who speaks up and says, never. And Jesus rebukes him and says, that is not of the Spirit. That is not of the Spirit. That's of the flesh. Get thee behind me, Satan. Wow, what a rebuke. And then who was it last week when I talked about the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus is transfigured into this glowing image and he's standing there with Elijah, the prophet, and Moses? Peter says, this is so cool. Let's build houses up here and never leave. And Jesus goes, no, no, we got to go down below where the people are. You remember that? So Peter is this, I love Peter. Peter's a rough fisherman. He carried a knife. I mean, you know what I mean? He cut somebody's ear off later on. You may not have read that in the Bible, but it's true. Peter is a rough, tough fisherman, and he speaks his mind. He's the first guy to step out, speak up, move forward. So just picture this for a moment, because I think he's very comical as well. Picture Jesus walking up alongside Jesus, and he taps him on the shoulder. He goes, excuse me, Rabbi? Yes, Peter. I got to ask you a question based on what you just taught about reconciliation and prayer. Yeah, what's on your mind, Peter? Well, how many times do I have to forgive somebody? I mean, really? And so Peter says, seven times? And I thought to myself, if you don't understand where he was coming from, how did he come up with the number seven? Well, it's interesting. I mean, he didn't know about Mickey Mantle. So my all-time hero, number seven of New York Yankees. So the bottom line is, in the rabbinical teachings of Peter's time, you are only required to forgive somebody three times. And after three times, three strikes and you're out. You forgive them once, twice, three times, that's it. You don't have to forgive them anymore. So what does Peter do? He takes the understanding of numbers in the Bible. You remember God created the earth and the heavens and everything in it, and on the seventh day he rested? Seven, the number seven in the Hebrew literature means completion. So Peter's thinking to myself, the rabbinical teachings say three. I'll add four more, and I'll complete the deal, and I'll go to Jesus and ask him. So there's some logic as to why Peter did this. Number three, added four, completion, that should make Jesus very happy. You know, he was figuring Jesus would say, you know what, Peter, you're amazing. We only require you to forgive three times, and you're going to do it seven. You're going to go to the head of the class. And that's not the answer that Jesus gives. We see from the text, Peter was trying to say, is forgiveness limited? Is there a limit to forgiving people? And Jesus responds with this. Seven times versus 70 times seven. And by the way, that 70 times seven, completion, perfection, it means forgiveness is endless. It never ends. You don't try to time seven times. I had a kid in my youth group do that one time, and he goes, I'm almost there with my brother. So he says 70 times seven. And he begins to talk about this compassionate king that Trudy read about. A servant goes before the king, the master, and he's going to be thrown into, his family's going to be sold into slavery. He's going to be thrown into prison. He falls down before the king and he cries out and he says, please forgive me. I can't pay back this debt. Have mercy on me. And the king says, you know what? Your debt is forgiven. Now, I want you to picture this. Could you imagine today if your mortgage, your student loan, your car payments, a judge today, a judge right down the street on Main Street in Patchogue, I think I'm pointing in the right direction, says, you know what? Your whole debt is forgiven. You don't owe anybody anything. Wouldn't that feel good? That's what happened to this guy. So when he leaves the chambers of the king, he's walking down the street, and he bumps into a guy. Now, that he was forgiven, like in those days, $1 million. And he bumps into a guy that owes him a couple of $100s. He says, where's my money? He says, I don't have it, please. The same scenario. And he begs. He goes, no way. If you don't pay me, your family, everybody's sold, you're going into prison. And people witness that, and they go back and tell the king, and I want to tell you something. The king is really disturbed, and the ending is bitter. So what does that tell me in the Bible? It tells me that, of course, we know that the king represents God, and we represent the servants. And therefore, God is very displeased when we don't forgive somebody else, knowing how much we have been forgiven by God. So, is forgiveness a natural thing? No, it goes against our nature. What does our nature say? Don't get mad, get even. I'm not taking this. We've all been there. I'm not going to take what this person did to me. I'm not going to take it lying down. I'm going to get even. I'm going to get back. I'm going to sue them. I'm going to call everybody I know and put the word out there what a scoundrel he or she is. It's not in our human nature to do that. And like I said last week, you might remember Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And therefore, we have to be connected to the vine. That is our life source. And I just want to share with you that unless you're intimately connected to Jesus Christ, it is impossible to forgive the way Jesus is calling for us to forgive, but in him, all things are possible. You get that? Personal relationship. So, I want to ask you this. What does unforgiveness do to us? Well, it makes us look like that guy. It puts a lot of baggage on us, friends. It creates baggage in our lives. Have you ever gone to the airport with tons of luggage? When we travel internationally, we have two big suitcases and bags on top of the rolling suitcases and my wife's pocketbook and a carry-on and a computer case. And we get out of the limo, the taxi, or somebody drops us off, and we are just exhausted. We get to the skycap. We tell him where we're going. He checks, give the passport. He takes all of our baggage, and we walk in there free. You walk into the main terminal and go, yeah, this is what I'm talking about. Come on, security, bring it on. All of our baggage is left behind. It's a great feeling. I've done it hundreds of times. But we look like that when we harbor unforgiveness in our lives. It brings a lot of baggage into our lives. It's a heavy load that it brings strained relationships. It fatigues us. It burdens us. It robs us of our joy and our peace when we hold on to those bags of unforgiveness. It keeps us from being who God wants us to be, and it robs us of our peace and our joy. Now, so what is forgiveness, and how do we carry this out, church? How can we forgive like Jesus is calling us to forgive? Because I'm telling you, in the natural and in the flesh, it's impossible. And I also want to thank Bruce for telling me to take off my robe. When you see the handkerchief come out, you know it's getting hot up here. Well, let me share with you what forgiveness is not, so that you'll understand what forgiveness is. We have to know what it's not in order to appreciate what it really is. Four things forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not justifying another person's actions. You get that? Because I think what we say in our mind, we say, if I forgive Jane or Mary or Jim or Pete, if I forgive them, it's justifying what they did to me, and that's not what it's doing at all. We're not saying what they did was right. We are simply letting go of our baggage that's holding us back and weighing us down. We are not giving permission to or acknowledging that something that they did to us is right. That's number one. It's not saying what they did to us is right. Number two, forgiveness is not waiting on the passage of time. What do I mean by that? Sometimes time heals all wounds. What do I mean by that? When we lose a loved one and we're grieving, we never really get over grieving. I understand that. We always miss that person, always. I miss my parents to this day and always will. But I get stronger each day, and now I could deal with it. And I think those of you who've experienced that understand that. Doesn't mean we forget about and we move on with our lives, but time does heal all wounds. But I want to suggest to you that time doesn't always heal all wounds in all circumstances. I believe time could be a hindrance in when it comes to unforgiveness, because I believe the opposite happens. I believe when we allow time to take place, a bitter root begins to grow deeper and deeper inside of us, and we become more bitter and resentful. And it isolates us, and it breaks off relationships, and we don't make the phone call, we don't visit the person, we don't hang out with them, we don't have any relationship with all. So therefore, when Jesus said, when you have something against your brother and sister, go to that brother and sister and reconcile. That's what happened last week. So time, the passage of time, doesn't always work in all circumstances. So forgiveness is not waiting on the passage of time. Thirdly, forgiveness is not denying we are hurt. You know, you'll hear people say it's no big deal, but inside they're saying, "Oh boy, if I could get my hands around his neck." right? It's no big deal. I can handle this. We have to acknowledge and say, you know what? I am hurt. This is troubling me. It has hurt me. I trusted this person, and there was a violation of that trust. What he or she said about me was wrong. What he or she did against me wasn't proper. It's not acceptable, and I'm going to acknowledge that I am hurt. There's nothing wrong with acknowledging our hurt. Don't ignore it. Don't avoid it. Say it like it is. I'm hurt by what this person did to me. The fourth thing, forgiveness is not automatically trusting them again. You see, here's the misnomer. We believe once we forgive them, the relationship is back to normal again. And that is true sometimes. When you forgive somebody, sometimes the relationship goes back to an okay relationship. But I want to tell you this. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to trust that person again so that we become vulnerable and a doormat for this person to continue over. See, let me say something, that forgiveness is a choice. That's a choice that we make so that we can let this thing go so it doesn't weigh us down. But trust is something somebody earns. You don't automatically trust somebody. That trust must be earned. So therefore, we forgive this person. We don't automatically trust them. So when we move forward in our relationship, we move forward cautiously. And we look for the passage of time again to see if that person is rebuilding his or her trust in our lives. So that's what the four things that forgiveness is not. Is that trust doesn't come automatically. Now, I want to say something. Forgiveness is not easy, but it's essential. Why is it essential? Without it, you can't please God. That king, who he had to go back before again to explain, you have been forgiven for so much debt, and you mean you couldn't forgive your brother for the minor debt that he committed against you? So it's not pleasing to God. It's essential for our peace, if we're going to have peace in our lives. And by the way, forgiveness is essential if we're going to witness the love, the mercy, and the grace that the choir spoke about and sung about, the grace of God. So where are we going with this? Well, as I said, forgiveness is not easy. It's not natural. It's supernatural, actually. And the only way we could operate in the supernatural is to be grafted into the vine I spoke of earlier. We need Christ and the indwelling. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit within us to give us the tools and the resources and the attitude in order to do what Jesus is asking us to do. So what is he saying? This is a scripture verse written by Paul to the church in Ephesus. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ God forgave you. You see, it goes back to the parable that Trudy read a little while ago. So much mercy was extended to that man that went before that king. So much grace and forgiveness was offered to this guy, and yet he, in return, could not forgive someone with a much lesser debt than his. And I think what he's saying is, how much have you been forgiven for by God? I know I've been forgiven for a lot, okay? I'm not going to give a testimony here of all that I've been forgiven for. No, I never robbed a bank. But we've all done something to fall short of the glory of God. And through his grace and mercy, and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven of all that debt. Our slate is wiped clean, as freshly driven snow. And therefore, God is saying through Jesus to Peter and to the rest and to us today, what are you and what am I going to do with the forgiveness that we have received? And so, what do we do with all the forgiveness that God has blessed us with? We extend it to others as well. You see that ball and chain? I'm going to testify now. I can honestly say this, and I'm in God's house. I wouldn't lie, but I wouldn't lie anyway. I'm not mad at anybody right now. I don't have anything to forgive somebody else of this morning. It's a beautiful thing. It doesn't always happen that way. There are times when I need to forgive somebody. So that ball and chain is not attached to my ankle this morning. But it has been in the past. And it may be in the future. And what it says here, don't copy the behavior. This is from Romans 12, from the Living Bible translation. Don't copy the behavior and customs of the world, but be a new and different person with a fresh newness in all that you do and think. In other words, the world and maybe your coworkers around the water cooler on Monday morning will say, I would get even. I would get them fired. I would make sure I make this person's life miserable. I'm not going to get mad. I'm going to get even. And that's the way the world thinks. And Paul says, don't think like the world. Have a renewing of your mind and your heart and your spirit so that when you come up against a time, a season, a place, a circumstance, an incident where somebody has offended you, where somebody has violated trust with you, you could actually say, Lord, with your help, I choose to let this go. I am not going to load up the baggage on my life and on my back and walk through this life with bitterness and a lack of joy and peace in my life. I choose this day to let go. I'm not justifying what they did. I'm not okaying it. I'm not giving it approval. But I am saying, with your help, the impossible is possible. So what am I asking you to think about in the closing of this message? Is there somebody in your life that you need to forgive this morning? I'm not asking you to do it now. It's in your time. It's in your own free will to do that. I'm not going to coerce anybody and play on your emotions. I don't believe in that stuff. I believe the Holy Spirit's bigger than anything I could do. But if there's somebody that you need to forgive today, consider that. You're not justifying what they did to you. You're just saying, I choose to let this thing go that I might have the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, and that I might be pleasing to God and my witness before others would be real and strong. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray earnestly this morning. Forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. Yes, we're not you, that when you hung on that cross on Calvary's Hill and they were scoffing at you and they were laughing and they were chiding you so viciously, you said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We're not you, Jesus, that's for sure. But you reside in us, and with your help, we could do that. It's possible. And so I pray that you would lift the baggage of bitterness, unforgiveness, lack of peace, lift it off of us this morning so that we might experience your joy and your peace, which passes all understanding. And it's in the name of the Prince of Peace we pray these things. Amen.